check in your bulletin, see if you got one of those colored inserts. If the insert inside your bulletin has some real color to it, then you're special. Anybody got one of those? I don't see any hands going up. Maybe we ran out of color this last printing session. Okay. Well, yeah, somebody could be shy. You have one? Well, that's good. Carol's checking it out. All right, you're special. Of course, to God, all of us are special, you know. All of us are experiment by God. He didn't make any of us the same. He loves us all. He loves us all the same, though. Well, go to announcements. I should say our pastor and wife, they're over at Harvest Valley today. They're doing a Helping Hands, Healing Hearts presentation. So pray that goes well. And the more people we have involved with that, the better everything goes. So, and thanks for all you here that contribute and work and spend time there. Our church has really been blessed because of it. Just being involved in something like that is a blessing. And it's a great, great way to bless people in our community that need help. And I'm there occasionally myself needing help. And Hollis will be later when he's standing up here. He'll need help. But you know, the Holy Spirit, he's our helper. Once in a while, a Holy Spirit day will come on me. When you just know the Holy Spirit's in charge, he's there. You don't have to worry about nothing because he's bigger than all the problems. You know, he's mighty. He's for you. He doesn't play favorites. Just have to ask him for help, and he's there. So, praise his name. And we might have some more. We've got the Bible study coming up, 6 to 7 on Wednesday. Study in Acts 11, 1 through 18. So that's pretty interesting. You know, the book of Acts is pretty thick. You ever notice? There's a lot of chapters. It's a pretty thick book. And you get them people filled with the Holy Spirit, things happening. And he can write books. So, next Sunday, Fulfilling Faith series continues with Peter, PJ, and John. So, that's all good. Faith is a mighty thing. Family Night Movie, that's coming up really soon too, Friday, November 8th. So next Friday, we're just having a free will offering for missions. Bring a snack. I think there might be popcorn here. I heard a rumor to that. Oh, yeah? Oh, I forgot to announce time. What time was that? 6 to 8. 6 to 8? Okay. Out, you'll like it.
It says so in this, and I believe it.
You're asking me and the children to follow you beyond the borders.
Keep that light in your eye. Straight towards it. Do not turn to the right or to the left.
Keep on the straight path.
You cannot expect to continue without hardships.
Think about it. Even if you reach your destination, what will become of those you love? Perhaps you'll save yourself. But what of them?
I am on this journey for the King.
Nothing will I fear.
You will go no further.
You're the light unto.
That's it, the Pilgrim's Progress. It's probably one of the best books ever written besides the Bible. So I'm sure you'll enjoy it if you come. Friday, so mark it on your calendar. This is our verse for today. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. Psalms 127, 3, 78, 4. Children are heritage from the Lord. Children are a tremendous gift when you think about it. You know, Lord trusts us a lot to give us children to bring up in this world. So, shall we pray before we greet one another? Father, we love you. We look to you. Thank you for uniting us as one body, your bride, that you paid high price for, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you've saved us from the sins of this world, the things that would enslave us and doom us and give us bitterness and despair and no future at all. Thank you, you raise us from the pit. You surround us with your love. You surround us with your beauty, with your goodness, with your grace, with your deep mercy. Wonderful God are you. We're always in your thoughts. We're always in your plans. You watch over us. You care for us. You long for us to be with you, to talk with you, to share our concerns and our joys. There is no one who's greater. There's no one who deserves more respect and honor than you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for Jesus, your Son, that you sent. And if he had to do it again, he would do it all over again just to save us. For he has great love. He is a tremendous example of how to live. May we be more like Jesus. May we have more compassion. May we have more care. May we just do what you ask us to do, Lord. And your commandments are not grievous. You do not give us grievous things to bear. You do not ask of us grievous things to do. But you put a joy in it. You put a joy in our walk. You give us peace in the midst of a really messed up world. But your peace is there. You are there. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We praise your great name, and we thank you for this day and what you're going to do and helping haul us along as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. And thank you those that are helping with Children's Church or whatever. This time I'd like to call Hollis up. He has a message the Lord's put on his heart, and it's been on his heart for a while, so now he gets to share it with us. Thank you, Hollis.
This thing on? Oh, and this one's off. Yeah, way back there. Good morning, everybody. Let's open with prayer and go from there. This is going to be hard for me today. God stopped me in my tracks 2 weeks ago right here in this church. But let's open with prayer. Dear Lord, we're just thankful to be in your home. More and often, we should always be thankful that you're in our lives and that we have an opportunity to serve you and pass you on to the generations of children that comes behind us, because they are our gifts from you. And if we cut off that tie to your children to come to your kingdom someday, we will be accountable for that. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll just start with the readings and go from there. Just read them all, please.
Psalm 127:3. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done.
Second Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it.
Mark 9:37. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
So the scriptures tell me that the children are very, very, very important to my God. This sermon come to me. I was here 2 weeks ago with my granddaughter. We were waiting to go across the street to do a sermon over there and go and be there with the residents of there. And we were here in the church. We ran out and got, she needed some things to make some stuff. She wanted to make pumpkins for them while I preached. So she made them all a pumpkin while we were over there. And she was in the back, in the room, back at the Sunday school room, getting her stuff together to go over there. And I was in this front room here, and I was going over what I was going to do because my wife was out of town. And so I was making sure I had my music together because I always struggle with music. And I wanted to make sure. But I went towards the back, and as I walked towards the back, I looked through the window there, the Helping Hands and Open Heart. And we've been talking to Sister Kathy a lot lately, and she's just all, you know, are we ever going to have enough to serve these people that's broken? And I kind of had that thought in my mind. And then when I went into the Sunday school room and stepped in there to say, you know, go say, baby, are you about ready? It's about time to go, you know. As I looked at her with her head down, and she didn't recognize that I was there because she was deep into what she was doing, a lady that looked, huh? Is it?
You don't have it on.
You sure? I'm afraid of it being too loud. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, before my lovely wife interrupted me and got me off track. A lady, and I don't know if it's true about this lady, have no clue, but the lady was walking down the alleyway there, and she looked in despair, and she looked broken, and she looked run down. And she passed in between me and my 12-year-old granddaughter. And I looked at her, and I realized, only by the grace of God go I. And only by the grace of God goes my granddaughter one day. Amen. See, if I know Jesus, and I know my Lord and Savior, I'm never homeless. I'm never broken beyond repair. Now, I'm going to get broken. Satan may blindside me from time to time, but he can never break me beyond repair. We're responsible to realize that there are a heritage from the Lord, a treasure. If we teach them nothing else in life, I say to you, if we bring 100 children in here today, we feed them, we give them the finest food, we give them the finest clothes, we give them the finest whatever this world has to offer, and we send them out this door, and they don't know Jesus Christ, it's only a matter of time that they'll be coming in that back door. Because the human spirit cannot survive in this world without Christ. Just can't. I am defenseless against Satan without God. I am defenseless against Satan without God. Salvation, Timothy, salvation and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what they need. I worry about failing our children today. I worry about failing our children. I worked in the school across the street into 2014. I was a baseball coach there. And if a player came to me and told me, you know, coach, I think I may be gay, or I think I may be whatever, I could have a conversation with him about that. But if he came to me and said, coach, you know, I heard you believe in God, this Jesus guy, and I'm interested in that, I could get in trouble and get fired for talking about Christ to him in that school. The church is more important in children's life today than it's ever been. Because Satan has painted us in a corner. He has painted us in a corner. Now, you can believe what you want to believe, but I think it's simple. I hear people talk. It's simple for me. People say, I wonder what's happened to our children. How are they walking into the churches, into the schools, shooting up the school, you know, killing one another, doing crazy stuff. And the biggest two things I know that's happened in the school in my lifetime is two things. Pride of your country and Christ has been taken out of the school. See, the child's got to be connected to Christ. And they have to be connected through me, through you. Just like my brother, my biological brother, when I see him coming, I don't see another strange person coming. I see my brother. He has value to me. I understand him. He means something to me. I have walked in the world with him in tragic situations. He has toted me as my brother in time. Same thing as a Christian. I see Brother Mike coming. I don't see another man coming. I see another son of God that is my brother in Christ. Brother Osborne, same thing. Dwayne, same thing. If Satan disconnects us as a family through the Father, then I don't value you anymore the way God intends me to value you. I start valuing you through the world's eyes. And the world's eyes are twisted. The world's eyes is twisted. You're no longer a precious commodity in my life, and you become a negotiable tool that I can get rid of if push comes to shove. If you're in the way of something and something that I believe that I need in this earth, I can push you to the side. But if you're my brother in Christ, and it's my responsibility to love you the way Christ loved me, I can't do that. I'll lay my life down for you, but I'll never shove you to the side to get some material stuff on this earth to make me feel better right now. because that's what Christ did for me, hanging on a cross. You know, do you want to bring Christ into your life? It's right here in Mark 9:37. I mean, let's think about this. You know, Christ says, you know, you welcome the child in my name. But you don't welcome me, but you welcome the one that sent me. And what does welcome mean? I know what it means on just a, I mean, here, I get you. My wife, she likes her house, okay? And she likes fixing her house up and doing this stuff. And she loves her sisters, okay? And if her sister's down in Hattiesburg, hops on an airplane and flies up here and comes, when she welcomes them into our home, you can believe that she's going to take them over every square inch of that house and tell them everything that she loves about that house and what she's planning on to make that house better in the future. And she's going to, they're going to know that house in and out. And she just welcomes them in. And I just want you to see it. I want you to know what this means to me. That's what it means to welcome a child to Christ. He doesn't want you to say, here's a book, here's Jesus, go figure it out. He wants you to welcome in his name. And he wants you to welcome him into what he said he was and what he is to them. And he wants you to make it clear that you are welcoming him into their life the way that he sees it. Not the way you see it. When I was a young baseball coach, and a coach after I played, and a coach under my first coach that was also Coach Ronnie, he made it clear that when we welcome players into the program, we just didn't welcome him into baseball. We were welcoming him into Coach Ronnie's way of doing the game of baseball. And you better make sure that they understood that, you know, or there would be consequences for not having these young men understanding what the program was and what the expectation was. And that's just baseball. What do you think Jesus expects when we welcome young men into his house? Some cock and bull story that I dreamed up, that I thought. He wants them to know that he loved them so much that he died on that cross. You think that cross for the physical Jesus, the human part of him, was easy? But he suffered for the whole world to see. Where today, if you come to him, and you can't say, well, you know, you just don't understand my suffering. You don't understand suffering. But if you understand his suffering, you know that he understands your suffering. Now, here comes the hard part for me. This is the part that's going to get personal. This is the part that God has been beating up on me, or not beating up on me, I don't want to say that, but I've been beating myself up because I'm afraid. You know, a lot of times I'm afraid. You know, I used to be my great cop-out, you know, when I was younger and dumber, was I would tell you I was mad when I was afraid, because it was easier to be mad. It was okay to be mad as a man. It wasn't okay to be afraid, you know. You may say, well, how do you know this is true? Brother Hollis, how do you know that? How do you believe that? Why do you believe that? I'm going to tell you how I know this true in my life. The only difference between me and that woman out there was the foundation that was laid in my life as a child of Jesus Christ by a woman that was more than a mother but a guardian angel to me. See, most people don't know it, but I come from a very, very rich family on my father's side. My father came back from World War II. He was here for 6 months. His first wife was killed in a car accident with him. And he met my biological mother in the bar across the street from International Paper Company. And she was a heroin addict, a drug addict. And I was born to a woman that was not fit, as my family seen from their background. I was born in a Catholic hospital to a woman that abandoned me, left me. In the hospital. And they didn't expect me to live. I was born addicted to heroin. She came back briefly, left me for the last time when I was 18 months old, and a co-worker that I call Mama, that worked under my father at International Paper Company, took me in when she left me the last time with a house full of children and raised me as her own. When I was 8 years old and the proof came out that I was born with dyslexia, my dad took me to the Barton Academy and some of the best experts that it was, and they told him that, you know, he'll never go to Notre Dame. And that was my big dream. I was born into a Catholic family, that I was going to go to Notre Dame, I was going to graduate from the University of Notre Dame, and I was going to play ball at Notre Dame. My father had never been more disappointed. And back then they had two options. They could send me out to Texas to a school that dealt with kids out like me, or a place up in Michigan. And my father was considering that. And the same woman that had no legal rights to me stood up to my father at 8 years old and said, if you try to take that boy out of this home, they'll take one of us out of here in a bag. You will not uproot him. She laid the foundation for Christ in my life. Went on, and my first son passed away. Still was not broken. My wife hung herself. I had to tell two children that their mother took their own life. Still not completely broken. I understand the only difference between that, my baby died, still not broken beyond repair. And the only difference between me and that lady that I saw in the alleyway as I looked over my granddaughter's head was the foundation that was laid into me. Through that all in my life, I have never felt that God did not love me and there was not a way out for me, and it was only a matter of time before he would turn any situation around for me. And it's all for his good. And it's our responsibility to lay that road ahead for these children in this world. If you want, I've never been broken. We got here from Hurricane Katrina. Me and my son got here from Hurricane Katrina, and we never once felt hopeless, worthless, or useless, that we could not pull ourselves up. Never once. And it's that foundation that was laid there. In Christ. Bad things are going to happen in this world. We're going to get knocked down. But if we have that foundation in Christ, it's so strong, it just pushes Satan's foot up off of us. And tell him to keep on stepping, because you can't stand here because I'm a child of God. You just keep on stepping. You got to find somewhere else to do your evil, because this is not fertile ground to do your evil on, Satan. You got to find somewhere else. Because when all else fails me in this world, the simple things that my mama taught me as a child has never failed me. Hit my knees, ask my Lord to show me the way. That won't fail me. But children coming into this world and they don't know that. No one's standing in the gap for them. Everyone don't get that individual in their life that lays that foundation. They're defenseless without Christ. You know? And people say to me, oh, well, it's too complicated. Children can't understand. You know, this, that, and other. And I'm going to finish up with these two points. Is, as I was leaving, taking my granddaughter back home, it was the first time me and her had been alone together for a while, that it, you know, for just us, a day. And we got to talking. Okay? And I just asked her, baby, what have you been doing? What you been up to? And she started telling me about this TV show that I know nothing about called Stranger Things Happen or Stranger Something. And it's like 10 episodes. And she went into very vivid details of everything about this. You know, about a girl that believed and she fought evil or did something. And sometimes she'd get up. Set and she could read people's mind or put thoughts in her mind, bad people, and her nose would bleed. And as I heard her tell this story of this TV show, I could hear her talk about it with like hope and strength and you know, like being powerful for good. And my heart broke a little bit. And I kind of had to stop myself from crying in front of her. Because that person's not real. And she can never be that. And that person don't exist. And someday the truth will come out. The person she's seeking in that TV program, his name Jesus. That spirit of giving is Jesus. That person that can step in and stop evil in her life in anything is Jesus. But she don't know that enough. And I fear not letting her know that, not taking the responsibility to know. I went to Nick Collins' memorial service and helped set it up yesterday and helped tear it down. And the people are really not in important, all the characters, but I saw something that chiseled me, just chilled me to the bone at the end. A young family member in the ages of probably 20 to 25 years old, grieving Nick after the memorial service is over in the parking lot. And another family member and a friend of the family member hands this young girl a beer. That's their solution. And as I looked at their face, I realized that they wanted to ease her pain. They really wanted to ease their pain. But as they stood there with a beer in their hand, their solution to her was, take my solution. And that was what confirmed me that I don't care if they tell me never to come back to the Church of God again, I'm going to preach this message today. That the world has got where we are offering the children so many solutions to the problems of their life, and Jesus Christ is not in the top 100 anymore. And they are a heretic. And if we don't treat them as so, and if we don't bring them to Christ the way Christ would have us to, and that brings us to God. When I bring a child right here, Matthew 9, when I bring a child to Christ is who Christ says he is through his word, I bring God to me. And right there, clear, and I'm going to close on this. I want my Lord to have joy. And it's clear right there in John 1:3-4. As my children walking in the truth brings me joy. You want to make me happy? Have my child walk in the truth? And you can't walk in something you don't know. It's our job to send every child that comes through that door, out that door, with the love of Christ. It's good to give them clothes. It's good to give them food. It's good to give them every other thing. But it's only going to sustain them for a short time in this world. And God has a long-term plan. Brother John, will you come up and close this service for us, please? Thank y'all for letting me share today.
Well, we got the last part of Hollis's message. Thank you so much. That is truth. Sorry we didn't hear all of it. We'll hear the rest of it later. But we have great opportunities, great responsibilities in the Lord. And it begins in the family. And I appreciate what Hollis has shared with us in his heart. And I know that each and every one of you are in agreement. And so we're going to close, or at least respond this morning with a song entitled The Family Prayer Song, which the declaration is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And to be able to lay that kind of foundation, which I was blessed with, and I know not everyone is blessed with, but we have opportunities, whether it's in the home or outside or in relationships, whatever, to be a part of that foundation that children need and that families need. And so let that be our response this morning to God's word as we sing this song together. As always, the altars are open, and then we'll have our closing prayer time as well. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your house that we come into to unite together in worship. Thank you, Father, for your presence and your spirit here. Thank you that you have called us together to give you the worthy that only you are worthy of. Lord, again, for your word and for how it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths, not only for ourselves, but for those that we have the opportunity to share it with, whether that's in our families, our children, grandchildren, other relationships, even a stranger that may come into our home. Thank you, Father, that we can help lay that foundation that can be built upon in children's lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us in so many ways. We're here today because of that. We're here because your Spirit has spoken to us and made us aware of our need for you, and we've surrendered and opened our hearts to your work. And we've instantly been united together with others of similar faith because of that. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for the support and the encouragement that we can offer each other. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Hollis and for what you laid upon his heart to share this morning. Know that your Spirit has used it to accomplish what you desire in this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can lift not only our praises to you, but our concerns. And I think particularly of little Colton, we're thankful for his healing. Thank you that he's better, that he's home. Pray your continued help him to just grow up strong. And Lord, that he would be an example of your healing touch and the strength that you alone can give to a little boy. Thank you for Mike and Brooke. We pray your blessing for them and the rest of the family as well. For Sue and those that are in Seattle, we pray your traveling mercies for them when they come back. Thank you, Lord, that you're with the Holland family, that Hollis mentioned this time of grief. Lord, we pray that you would be what they need, not the beer. Help them, Lord, to see you for who you are. Thank you that Hollis had an opportunity to share you with them, and will continue to pray your blessing for that. We pray for a 5-year-old girl named Aura. She's got terminal brain cancer. I don't know her, but Lord, we lift her to you. We pray for your healing for her. Don't know the family, but we pray, Lord, that you will instill faith in them for her, and that even she directly will experience your presence. We pray for Hayden, who's 1 month old and is given only 6 months to live. Don't know the circumstances of this little boy as well, but you do, and you're with him. And we add our prayers to those that are being lifted to you on his behalf. Also, we pray for Sandy, and that all the breast cancer will be gone. We're thankful, Lord, that we can lift these to you, and continue to just lift up all of those on our ongoing prayer list. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and the healing that you have granted so many. And we just continue to claim that. And grateful, Lord, that we can continue to support each other and love each other. And as we offer our prayers to you, we know that you're listening, receiving each expression from each one.